I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah, say I got a woman way over town, good to me. Oh yeah, she give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of.
Welcome to Locks and Thoughts. It's Tuesday, October 8th, and we have the whole crew here today. Me, John, and Neil.
Me?
Pause it.
What's your name?
We've got the whole crew here today. Katie, John, and Neil. I'm still alive and Survivor. John is not.
Oh, thanks.
And this week, my pick is Ravens against the Bengals.
And you've already used the Patriots against your will.
Against my will.
So you can't use the Patriots this week. Guess who the Patriots play?
I have no comment.
They play your team, the Giants, Katie.
I'm busy Thursday night.
Bill Belichick said he hopes Saquon doesn't play.
Well, he's rooting against the rest of us.
That's pretty high praise, though, from Bill, from the best coach in the league.
He wants to take that easy W.
Yeah, they've been getting easy W's all season.
Yeah, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have not lost to a quarterback under 25 at Gillette Stadium. Like, ever. Mahomes was the last to try. Danny Dimes is not getting it done.
Yeah, they're favored by 17. It sounds like you might want to take Patriots 17.
I refuse. not a regular season game for the Patriots. I'm never betting on them in the regular season.
I'm taking the over 42.
Yeah, if the Giants give you 3 points, you have a shot.
You know what? I'm going to lock it in. We should have said this from the top, but my lock record is 4-4-3. And Neil is 1-4.
We're a second half team, baby. Sleep on us.
So Neil's been good fade material so far. But yeah, I'm gonna lock in past Giants over 42 at even money.
They don't have Saquon's probably not gonna play.
Pat Shermer said we'll see today.
Sterling Shepard's out. Evan Ingram's out. It might be the Eli Penny show. The fullback for the Giants.
Well, the Giants lost to the Vikings this past weekend, 28-10. Dalvin Cook had 218 scrimmage yards against the Giants.
You would have lost that over.
That's the most since Adrian Peterson, more yards in 2012. Adam Thielen went on Kirk Cousins' podcast to complain about his targets, and he had 6 catches for 121 yards at halftime, which were season highs for a game.
Kirk Cousins just force-fed him the ball just to say, shut the fuck up.
Kirk scored more than 15 fantasy points for the first time this season.
Yeah, and then Stephon Diggs is probably requesting a trade at halftime.
Yeah, he's been requesting a trade. Speaking of the Vikings, we'll move on to Teddy Bridgewater.
He had
the Saints beat the Buccaneers 31-24.
Deep down, my man.
Bridgewater had 4 touchdowns for the first time since he played for the Vikings in 2015.
MVP candidate.
Here's a little Arians effect for Jameis Winston. Winston has the most yards in franchise history through 5 games with 1,371 yards. I do know that the Bucks play the Panthers in London at 9:30 a.m. this week, and the Panthers...
Oh, I saw that. I was wondering why it was an early game.
And the Panthers are for sure going to win. Yeah, I hated that there were 10 NFL games at noon this week. It was so dumb. And there's only 2 at 4 p.m. Like, at least give me 3 at 4 p.m.
Red Zone goes to commercial for the first time. James Winston has 5 interceptions. I think that has to be a career low through the first 5 games.
Yeah, that's usually he throws 5 in one game.
Yeah.
The Texans, the Will Fuller game, the Texans beat the Falcons 53-32. Will Fuller had over 50 fantasy points in PPR. He joins Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins as only receivers in Texans history with over 200 receiving yards in a game.
Oh, J.J. Watt's not on that list?
No, J.J. he's not. Julio is not getting his targets. It's almost like the Falcons don't want to win. The Falcons are 1-4, and they've allowed 20 points in 6 straight games, at least 20 points.
Yeah, they are the dumpster fire of the NFC right now. The Dolphins have competition for the first-round pick. I hate to say it, but you know the Bengals and the Falcons are looking like a 3-horse race.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Redskins.
Steelers, too.
Yeah, I trust Mike Tomlin to
the Steelers quarterbacks
find a quarterback.
Aren't even wearing face masks anymore. So
yeah, I saw that picture. It looks so weird without a helmet, without a face mask.
But yeah, they really should.
For Mason Rudolph to walk off.
Well, yeah, they said the cart was broke, but they said it wasn't broken. But Yeah.
So they made him walk off. They're like, yeah, we can't actually carry you out of here.
Mike Tomlin deferred in overtime.
So it actually worked, though. They held him to a three and out, but then they couldn't fucking score.
It didn't work because they lost. The Steelers didn't start. Their kickoff unit was so bad, and Mike Tomlin said this, the Steelers didn't start a drive past the 20-yard line. So if they would have got a touchback every time, they would have done better. But Justin Tucker's a good kicker, so he doesn't kick into the end zone. And so Mike Tomlin was saying that if they got the ball and had a three and out because they don't have a quarterback, that they would give Justin Tucker the game, basically, because they'd only punt to, the 40, the opponent's 40.
Yeah.
But that's still dumb. You still take the ball. You basically are saying I don't have confidence in my offense.
No, I look at it as you have confidence in your defense, and they did, but their offense didn't hold up there under the bargain.
Yeah, because the coach didn't believe. I mean, that's not why. The guy just punched it out of Juju's hand, but I still don't like the call. You got to take the ball. I mean, it didn't work out. They lost the game. So.
Yeah, hindsight's always easier.
It's not hindsight. It's you take the ball and go get a touchdown.
Or you just hold them to three and out and kick a field goal for the win. I mean, either way, they lost on a fumble. So, I mean, it's not like the offense wasn't moving the ball. It's just Juju couldn't hold on to it. So,
they punched it out. It was a great play by the defender. Moving on to the Monday night game, 49ers at Browns. I had that as a play on my website, 49ers minus 4. Bosa had his sack celebration getting back at Baker Mayfield, which is pretty awesome.
That's hilarious. Yeah, the wave, the flag wave.
They showed a picture of the Bosa family on Monday night, and their dad is a beast.
Yeah, Nick Bosa put his nuts on Baker Mayfield's forehead. That was pretty cool.
I don't even think it was a sack. I think it was intentional grounding. But still, the celebration still counts.
Watching an entire season of Carnival Row instead of that game, so.
I just knew the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, off a bye week, 49ers had, their defensive line is so good, and their offensive line is good. They're missing Joe Staley, but they still have a good offensive line. And then the Seahawks beat the Rams 30-29. I had the Rams plus 1.5 in that game.
The sweater.
Wilson.
Well, they had the ball at the end of the game, so that was a good feeling.
Yeah, it was. Wilson hasn't thrown a pick this season.
Number one quarterback in fantasy.
And he threw for over 200 passing yards for the first time in the last six games against the Rams. Cooper Kupp has 100 yards in four straight games.
Yeah, what a monster.
And
he's the difference maker.
Jared Goff's interception late in the fourth quarter sealed their fate. Would you rather have Cooper Kupp or Adam Thielen if you were an NFL GM?
Cooper Kupp. I won't even let you finish that statement.
If you were an NFL GM, I'm not talking about a fantasy. I'm talking about just you're starting a team.
Even if I wasn't starting a team, I would want Cooper Kupp over Adam Thielen for a brunch date.
And then moving on to another MVP candidate, from Russell Wilson to Christian McCaffrey, the Panthers beat the Jags 34-27. That was one of my locks, the Panthers. McCaffrey is the youngest player in Panthers history with 2,000 rushing yards. I mean, the guy's just putting the team on his back. Kyle Allen's 3-0. They showed a stat at the beginning of the Panthers-Jaguars game that Kyle Allen had 6 touchdowns and no interceptions. It's like, well, yeah, he's got 5 fumbles, though. So, and then they did the same thing with Gardner Minshew. They were like, he's the first player since Mahomes to have this many touchdowns and this few interceptions in their first 3 starts or whatever.
And yeah.
It's like, also, he also has 5 fumbles.
Erroneous.
It's like the Jaguars lost the game because he fumbled and Brian Burns returned it for a touchdown. Dude, Brian Burns, he's already blocked a punt. He's already got a touchdown. He's already got 4 sacks. What a first-round pick. It's almost like the Giants or Redskins should have picked a pass rusher.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm telling you, man. They got their revenge game against the Buccaneers in London this week. I think the line's only minus 2.5. I would pound that all day. I'll talk about that on Thursday's podcast. And then the Cards got their first win, baby. They beat
the West Coast spread. They beat the first win.
They beat the Bengals 26-23. Bengals are 0-5. Andy Dalton is 0-8 in his last 8 games without AJ Green.
Jesus, I feel bad for AJ Green. He doesn't want to come back to this team.
Larry Fitzgerald led the Cardinals in catches for the 188th time. I made that up, but probably right, if not more.
Plus or minus 10.
Kyler Murray was only sacked one time they led the league. He led the league in getting sacked with 20 sacks before this game. So maybe the Cardinals' offensive line figure something out, or maybe they just played the Bengals, who literally cannot tackle. I've never seen an NFL team not be able to tackle. Maybe Marvin.
That's when you lose Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah, it's just unbelievable. They literally can't tackle. I know I just said that, but I'm just, yeah, it's amazing to me.
Well, at least they know what they need to work on in practice. It makes the job easier.
And then the Raiders beat the Bears 24
to 20. The Raiders.
Yeah, they're both Bears and Raiders are both 3-2 now. The Raiders had 4 sacks for the first time since they traded Mack in a game they played against Mack. I thought that was interesting. The Bears are averaging 18 points a game or somewhere around there. And there's only 4 teams that are averaging less than 18 points a game. Guess what those 4 teams' combined record is?
Probably only one game. The Bengals are in that group for sure. The Dolphins are in that group. I want to say the Cardinals. No, the Cardinals put up points.
The Jets.
The Jets. And then the Giants. No.
They're 0-18, the teams.
0-8. They haven't won a game?
No. That's funny. Every team that averages less points than the Bears has not won a game.
Hey, defense wins championships.
Speaking of the Jets, Philly beat the Jets 31-6. The Jets are 0-4. The Jets are averaging 13.5 yards a game, and my homer pick for MVP, Christian McCaffrey, is averaging 14.2 yards a drive. Or, sorry, a drive, not a game.
Gase just looks like he's committed murder.
Yeah, that's a former Dolphins man. What do you think of him?
I know. And I'm glad he's no longer in Miami.
Yeah, they're doing a lot better without him. The Jets have never beat the Eagles 0-11. That's the most losses ever without a win in NFL history against a team.
They've only played each other 11 times? Was never?
AFC, NFC, but yeah.
Wow. They've never won. Well, that's a doesn't bode well for the 12th matchup meetup.
So Darren Sproles is 5th most in all-purpose yards all time now.
He still plays football?
He did. He's the Energizer Bunny. Yeah. He's a little bit smaller than the Energizer Bunny, but... So guess the 4 people that have more all-purpose yards, podcast listeners and Neil.
Fuck. Emmitt Smith?
Yep, that's one. He might catch Emmitt Smith, actually. Walter Payton. And then Jerry Rice is number 1.
Wait, a wide receiver has more all-purpose yards than a running back?
Yeah, and well, this is special teams yards, too, by the way. And then Brian Mitchell, the Redskins player, is 2nd all-time. He was their kick returner and running back.
Darren Sproles, look at that. He's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Bills beat the Titans 14-7. The Bills are 4-1, and they get the Dolphins twice coming up. So the Bills are probably going to be like 7-2.
Did you see the Twitter beef that carried over after the game between Taylor Lewan and Shaq Lawson?
I did, but recap it real quick.
So Taylor Lewan, like after the game was over, screenshotted Shaq Lawson's stats for the year. And then tagged Shaq Lawson in the tweet. And he's only had 2 or 3 tackles for losses 4 games in. And Taylor Lewan, and he was like, good game, bro. You still suck or something like that. And it was like, showed Shaq Lawson's stats. And then Shaq Lawson's D-line mate, Jordan Phillips, I think his name is, sent Taylor Lewan 2 videos of like Shaq Lawson just beating Taylor Lewan, which gave Jordan Phillips the sacks, the 2 sacks of Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
It was just funny to see that a losing team player just continually going after. Taylor Lewan also failed a PED test for steroids while taking a polygraph test, too. So that's hilarious.
I like Taylor Lewan, though, because when the Nashville Predators were in the playoffs a few years ago, he was throwing catfish on the ice and chugging beers.
So. That entire offensive line was just slamming beers in that ice hockey rink.
So, I mean, he endeared me.
He won you over.
Exactly. The Ravens and Bills are the only teams that have 100 rushing yards at least in every game this season.
Are the Ravens good, or are they just, like, fucking with us?
Well, they play the Bengals. That's KB's survivor pick. They play the Bengals this week, so they'll get a win this week because the Bengals can't tackle. Titans were scoreless at the half for the 3rd time this season. The Titans have won every game they've been an underdog in and lost every game they've been favored in this year. And then we already talked about the Patriots a little bit, but they beat the Redskins 33-7. Redskins are 0-5. That's the other team we forgot earlier. Redskins are 0-5. Patriots are 5-0.
And Jay Gruden gets fired Monday morning at 6 a.m.
He did. the Dan Snyder wanted him to
get to sleep in.
Dan Snyder wanted him to draft Dwayne Haskins, but he played Colt McCoy. Dan Snyder's not standing for that.
That's the hill Dan Snyder is not willing to die on.
Redskins,
Colt McCoy won.
Redskins have 25 points over their past three games.
Snyder hates his fan base.
Tom Brady has thrown his third red zone interception in his last seven games. He's got two in the last two games. He hadn't thrown a red zone interception in over 30 games before this Colt streak. Is Tom Brady losing it?
You know, he's wearing the same pads since 1995. That may have something to do with it.
And
but
Antonio Brown can't wear the same helmet. What a shame.
Yeah.
Edelman passed Gronk for fourth all-time in catches for New England. So Gronk's probably going to come back now. Can't have Edelman, the thirst trap ahead of him.
He will still retire on 69 touchdowns, but no, Edelman, that's where he draws the line.
The Broncos got their first win. They beat Phillip Rivers and the Chargers 20-13.
A collective sigh of relief from the state of Colorado.
Rivers has one second half TD this season. That's not good.
Rivers just looks pissed, like, at everything.
So the Broncos have played five games this season. Guess how many games they don't have a sack in with Von Miller?
Five.
Four. 80% of the games they don't have a sack. I know Bradley Chubb tore his ACL. Oh, Ray's just got a home run. Tony Pham. I bet $1 on him to have the first home run at plus 1,800. So I just won $18.
Did you really?
Yeah, I just threw it in there for fun. He looked good, yes.
Did it.
I swear to you, I did. And I did it Jose Altuve at like plus 700 too.
That's funny.
So I guess I only won $17. Anyway, that was a little side note. Justin Simmons had an interception in the first quarter for the Broncos. That was their first turnover of the season as well. So they're just not playing good defense. But they won the game. They've finally stepped up a little bit on defense. Is it a sign of things to come?
Probably not.
The Colts beat the Chiefs 19-13.
The best offensive line in the game.
Yeah, I know. Marlon Mack was the steal of many fantasy drafts.
They eat lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the House of Pancakes.
The Colts ran the ball 45 times. That's the most since they in a game that didn't go to overtime since before they drafted Manning for the Colts. Mahomes is 1-3 on Sunday night. Mahomes was clearly hurt in this game. They had a roughing the passer on a guy that fell on his legs, but the Steelers got called for a roughing passer for falling on Lamar Jackson's legs. These pass interference penalties and roughing the passer penalties, they need to do something about it. Just make it.
You don't like the consistency?
Yeah, it just makes no sense. Maybe that's just because I bet on the Chiefs, but that should have been a roughing the passer on Mahomes.
I don't see the correlation.
But anyway.
Does this mean you hammer the Chiefs, whoever they play this week and the spread?
No, because I don't know.
Back-to-back?
I don't know how healthy Mahomes' ankle is. Because he was clearly not himself in that second half, and it affected their whole offense. And I don't know if Tyreek Hill's back yet. Once Tyreek Hill comes back and I see Mahomes healthy, I'm putting the money back on the Chiefs.
So the last four quarterbacks to beat Patrick Mahomes, three of them have went to state.
North Carolina State.
Yeah.
Nice. The Packers beat the Cowboys 34-24.
The Cowboys are finally coming back down to earth from cloud nine of Super Bowl aspirations.
Aaron Jones had twice as many scrimmage yards as Ezekiel Elliott, exactly. The Cowboys' offensive line might be the most overrated part of any team in football.
That's a bold statement.
The Packers scored 34 or more points without a passing TD for the first time ever in the Super Bowl era for them. The Packers were also outgained by over 200 yards. The Cowboys had over 200 more yards than them, but they won the game for the first time ever.
I just love watching Jason Garrett lose his shit on the sideline. He got a flag for throwing a challenge flag.
Well, I think it was something he said, but
what could Jason Garrett's vocabulary cannot be that aggressive. I just don't see, like, whatever he says can be that insulting.
Well, he could. He was close enough to the ref. Maybe some spittle came out onto the ref.
Yeah, a little moisture.
But the ref threw the flag higher than Snoop Dogg. I mean, he threw that flag a thousand feet in there.
To say, fuck you, Jason Garrett.
Aaron Jones had four rushing TDs. He's the first player this century for Green Bay to have four rushing TDs in a game.
Go, Pat, go.
We'll get on to the meat of it now. I already said one of the locks passed Giants over 42. So these are all games that will happen before Friday. We'll come out with another podcast for the weekend. But the Pats, Giants over 42 at even money is one of my locks. And then I have Riley Opelka against RBA, Roberto Bautista Agut, at plus 120 tonight. RBA is a more well-rounded player than Opelka, but Opelka's return game has actually been very good over the past month. And Opelka serves one of the best in the world, and RBA retired from his last match. So I think Opelka is just at plus 120. That's really good value.
And Opelka, so is it not like a possum where the O is silent? You actually say the O in this one?
I do.
Okay, fair. Is he American?
He is American. Born in St. Joseph, Michigan.
Makes me like him even more.
Yeah, he's like John Isner, but a little less douchey, which is nice. And then my other lock is Rublev against Millman tonight. I say tonight. These games are at 3 a.m. Eastern time on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, that's still the nighttime.
Yeah. Against Millman. Millman's been super hot. The only match... He's so hot right now. The only match he's lost recently was to Djokovic in the Tokyo final. And Djokovic is obviously the best tennis player in the world, in my opinion. Millman's played a lot of matches. This line should be close to even, honestly. Rublev's has been super good form lately too, but the line makes me think that Millman's more tired than the public believes for Rublev to be favored at minus 175. So I think Vegas knows something, so I'm going with the favorite, Rublev.
Vegas doesn't know shit. Fuck Vegas. Also, I don't even know tennis was still on this time of year, so yeah, I have no comment on any of these.
That's okay. Moving on to baseball. These baseball playoffs have been awesome. If you've been following sportsologist.com, I've been winning a lot of baseball bets. And me and Neil are on opposite sides of this Cardinals-Braves game five. I'm on the Cardinals.
If you want to win money, you bet on the Braves. If you want to lose money, bet on the Cardinals, essentially.
I'm on the Cardinals and Jack Flaherty. Neil's on Folty and the Braves. Flaherty.
Come on, baby.
These two starting pitchers already played a game against each other in this series, and Folty won. But Flaherty didn't pitch poorly. He gave up 3 runs in 7 innings.
That's all the stats I need. 1-0. Make it 2.
Donaldson, Markakis, Matt Joyce, Freeman, and McCann are combined 10 for 70 in this series.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well on paper, but they just need a good game to pull it out and move on. So I believe at home, Chalkbot will get on.
I conveniently left out Acuna and Albies from that stat.
Yeah, that would drastically have changed those numbers, but that's neither here nor there.
But Paul Goldschmidt has been, he's been amazing. It just seems every time he barrels it up. Marcelo Zuna has also been amazing. Yadier Molina's got that postseason experience. The Cardinals got the clutch hits in the last game that the Braves could not get. Acuna got a leadoff double. Braves couldn't knock him in because the people I just listed haven't been performing up to their normal standards.
And loaded the bases back-to-back innings and came away with no runs.
Did they really?
That's not going to win you a baseball game.
I was flipping over to the football game or another baseball game. But the Rays are running it up, man.
Did they score again?
Yeah, Travis d'Arnaud, my favorite Rays player, just got an RBI.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we've known about Travis and his magic.
I know. If you go back to the intro of this podcast, I'm a big, big fan. Go back to the beginning, the origin, the genesis, episode 1. And then my final lock is Belgium-San Marino. Belgium is favored by 7.5 against the mountainous state in the middle of Italy. I am taking the under 7.5 at plus 105. Belgium is 8 points ahead of the group. They're first in their group. If they were 9 points ahead in their group, they would have clinched, so they've basically clinched. And I just don't think they're going to play Hazard or De Bruyne, however you say that beautiful Belgium's name, KDB.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, there you go. Yeah, I just like the under 7.5. San Marino has been losing every game 4-0, except to Russia. They lost 9-0, but I think it's going to be a 5-0 type game. 7.5 is just... They're daring me to take Belgium minus 7.5, but I'm going to go the other way and take the under.
I'll still clear of that that trap. Yeah, I will never bet on an under game. My kids will never bet on an under, and my grandkids will never bet on an under. So have fun with that.
Here, let me recap my locks, and then you can give your locks. My locks are Pats, Giants over 42, Opelka, Rublev, Cardinals, Belgium, San Marino under 7.5.
I like only one So we're going to do another one before the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So Euros, Thursday morning. I like Kazakhstan, Cyprus over 2 goals. Cyprus, out of their last 5 games, only one has gone under 2. I really like that. It fits the over 2 fit. Or it fits the over 2 model for me. I like that game. That's going to be my one lock for the week.
Well, you like the Braves. You got the Braves. And then, so Kazakhstan's a European country? You learn something every day?
I hope so.
Well, I mean,
if they're in the European Euros.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I think the Braves' money line is at plus 103. The Braves are plus 103 tomorrow night. So that's an underdog for my lock. So I got Cyprus over 2 and the Braves chop on money line. We'll turn in the ship around.
I like it. So you sorry, I'm an idiot. You have 3?
No, 2.
2. Man, simple math. It's pretty tough for me. Okay, well, I'm going to go continue watching the Rays push this over that I bet and hope my tennis bets win at 3 a.m. They will. I'm confident.
Ben Simmons is already missing 2 free throws against Guangzhou, the Chinese team with 2 names.
I did want to talk about the China NBA stuff for a second. A
lot of beef going on.
A lot of news media sites aren't covering it, but we ain't no pussies here at Sportsologist.
Cover all the onions.
So, a Reddit user, Wizix, W-I-Z-I-C-K-S, he summed up this China NBA situation well. He said, the GM for the Houston Rockets made a post supporting Hong Kong. The Chinese got pissed. The NBA threw the GM under the bus because of that sweet, sweet Chinese money and said, China is dope. That guy's crazy. The Chinese fucking love the NBA and specifically the Rockets because they used to have a Chinese player named Yao Ming. End quote. So yeah, basically a foreign power is manipulating the free speech of one of the largest American entertainment companies in the NBA. And I won't stand for it.
And yeah, Adam Silver even came out and said, yeah, our job is not to regulate free speech.
Well, yeah, the communications person for the NBA before he said that was agreeing with China. So Adam Silver had to come out and say that. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
It's a non-issue for it. Doesn't affect the NBA. Like,
yeah,
they're still going to get their money.
It's that's not true. Tencent, T-E-N-C-E-N-T, is the Chinese company that has rights for NBA games, and they've already said they're not going to broadcast Rockets games. All Rockets sponsors in China have pooled money that's over $50 million. That's just the information I could find. It's probably more than $50 million. It's definitely affecting the NBA.
Be just fine. This is extra bullshit on Adam Silver's plate.
That's not really nothing he said was inappropriate. It's free speech. He didn't say.
Yeah, but I mean, he also said it's not his job to regulate free speech. So in that statement,
well, he said that after
backing up Daryl Morey.
He said that afterwards, though. That's not.
Yeah, so I think that's him backing up.
Yeah.
Daryl
Morey. No, I'm very glad Silver said that, and he said it very well. But I just wish he would have said that at the start. At the start.
Going back.
Yeah. And well, my point, like even the Colin Kaepernick stuff, like when LeBron was, you know, standing with Colin Kaepernick, and then Adam Silver was like, you have to stand for something, that he said that quote. And it's like Morey is standing with Hong Kong, and then Silver was like, oh, I need that Chinese money, so I'm not. China owns a lot of American stuff, and they don't have free speech in China, and that is starting to show in America, and that's what's scary to me. I think it's a slippery slope that's going to keep sliding.
I mean, at the core, Adam Silver has to protect the NBA brand. Like, that's what his job is. And so,
what's more valuable, the free speech of your players and general managers, or the brand?
Like, the NBA is one of the most progressive leagues.
I know that's
professional leagues in that.
Oh, for sure, and that's why it kind of pisses me off that they're not standing with Daryl Morey. They're making him take down his tweets and apologize.
Yeah, I mean. At the end of the day, I think Adam Silver is a very knowledgeable, good dude. I think he knows how to pander to both sides. He knows how to have his players and general managers back while also not ruining the investing into the NBA. Well, I can't say what he did was right or wrong because I don't know what I would do in that situation. But I think at the end of the day, I think all of this was just so unexpected, first of all, and it just started getting steam. And then Adam Silver just had to come out and comment on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it got steam because China pulled
tens
of millions, not all of it, but tens of millions of dollars.
And then, like, they canceled a bunch of preseason games.
Well, I mean, China's a billion-dollar market. But, I mean, I've said what I want to say. I just think freedom of speech is more important than
the Jeremy Lin back. The NBA brand. Tensions.
Yeah, well,
Lin's sanity will be the bridge.
The China better block might block us from watching Jimmer Fredette games. What would we do?
And, you can play this game.
And Michael Beasley.
What will Stephon Marbury be doing?
Locks and Thoughts by Sportsologist.com. Katie, John, and Neil. We'll see you all. You'll hear our lovely voices again on Friday.
I'll miss you.
Bye-bye.
I'll miss you more.